2 Corinthians chapter number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. We're looking at the matter of being an ambassador for Christ. 2 Corinthians 5, let's begin reading verse 17. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Now, Paul says here that believers are ambassadors for Christ in this world. An ambassador is just simply an official messenger or representative of one nation or kingdom to another. And we're from the kingdom of God, amen. And we're sent to the kingdom of this world that we used to be a part of, but we no longer, you know, we just strangers passing through this world now. All right, we have a heavenly home. But the Lord wants us to be representatives of the kingdom of God. We're to be missionaries to the people we know and encounter each day in our lives. That God has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Now, in the Lord's commission to His disciples who made up that first church, He told them to preach the gospel to every creature. We know that. And to go into every corner of this world and share Jesus with those who are lost and undone. That's the mission of the church, isn't it? That's what we're to accomplish. But unfortunately, many of God's people have forsaken their personal responsibility to be ambassadors, and they've adopted the thinking that, you know, I give to the church, and so, you know, the minister is supposed to go out and do that kind of stuff, and I give to missions, and so the missionaries are supposed to do it around the world. They try to absolve themselves of personal responsibility by their giving rather than by their going. You can't do that. You know, God wants us all to go, and we are to have that personal responsibility, realize that we do have a personal responsibility and that we're going to stand before God one day and give an account. Every one of us, saved by God's grace, has a responsibility to share Christ with the people around us. And God has called us to this mission field. It's His mission field, called the world. And I want you to think about this. Some of you have a mission field that others in here may not have access to, may not be able to labor in. I want you to think about that for just a minute. I can't labor where you work. I can't go where, if you attend school somewhere, I can't go there. I don't have access. I can't labor at your family reunions. You know, or those that you hang with. There's some people that, you know, they buddy-buddy with you, but they wouldn't give me the time of day. You know? They find out I'm a preacher, you know, I don't want to listen to no preacher. They'll turn me off just that quick. But we're all to be God's representatives in this world, and we know that the world's headed for hell. And how we respond to that call may make a difference whether those folks trust the Lord or not. And so we need to be involved. And in order to be the best ambassador for Christ, we've said two things thus far. We said, first, we must personally know Christ. And we said, that's duh. You know, yeah. If you're going to represent Christ, you need to know it, don't you? You got to personally know Christ. And then we said, secondly, last week, we said we must know the heart of God. And we talked about how missions is the very heartbeat of God. He's at work in the world, reconciling a lost humanity to Himself. And He's made each of us to be a part of that. But we talked also about how this old Adamic nature that we still battle with, that's inside of us, you know, our flesh don't want to do that. You know, our flesh resists sharing Christ with people. the carnal sinful flesh within us tries to control our thoughts and actions when the Holy Spirit of God is drawing us to share Christ. Say, hey, that person needs the Lord. And flesh says, yeah, but what are they going to say? You know, what are they going to say about me? What are they going to feel about me? And so we listen to the flesh a lot of times. We've all experienced those times when our flesh has talked us out of sharing the gospel. You know, we knew we should have given somebody a tract, or we knew we should have spoke up and said something for the Lord. And when the Holy Spirit was prompting us to share that gospel, we allow that to happen, to talk us out of sharing the gospel, and we allow it to happen too often. Now, tonight I want us to see that in addition to these two things, in order for us to be the ambassadors for Christ that God would have us to be, thirdly, we must know the plan of God. We must know the plan of God. Okay, we said we must know, personally know Christ, we must know the heart of God, and then we must know the plan of God. Now we know when Jesus left this earth, He commissioned His church to be actively involved in representing Him in world missions. Acts 1:8, right? Where does it begin? So you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem. That's our Jerusalem is Orange Park. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. Yeah, it keeps going out. Then uttermost part of the earth. He worked from the center of Jerusalem, worked his way out, but the responsibility is the whole world. But our first and foremost concern today should not be just the uttermost part of the earth, or even our Samaria or Judea. Our first concern ought to be our Jerusalem, you know, the where we live, as the place that we live our lives, and that is where we all should be, being an ambassador for Christ. Now, we know that God burdens some to go to the Judeas and the Samarias and the uttermost parts of the earth. We just read the letters of those that God is using in that way. We are to both prayerfully and financially support those efforts as we can, as God gives us the ability to. But God's plan for each of us is that we reach the people in our circle of influence. And that gets back to what I just said a while ago. You can reach somebody that others in here can't reach. You have access to talk to some folks that some of us don't have access to. And so think about your circle of influence. That's where God wants you to begin. He wants you to be an ambassador for Him. Look at verse 20. Notice what it says here. It says, "Now then we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." Now, how is this world going to be reconciled to God or led to Christ? Well, it's through God working through His people. Okay? God's working through each one of us that know Him. If you know the Lord, God is at work in your life. He wants to work through you. Now, you can resist that work that He wants to do, but His desire is to work through your life to reach others. Paul says here that it was as though God was pleading with those in Corinth through him and through the other believers that had witnessed to them to bring them to the Lord. He says, as though God did beseech you by us. And he said, you know, we were talking to you, but it was God that was working through us to beseech you to come. And he said, we pray you in Christ's stead. That means on Christ's behalf, be you reconciled to God. You see that? You know, God's plan is for each of us who are believers to be the channel through which He speaks. In other words, you could say, in a manner of speaking, we're God's sound system. Okay, we're God's sound system, and we are to speak. We're the medium through which He speaks and works in reconciling this world to Himself. We don't have to share the gospel just exactly like everybody else does. You know, I'm talking about, you know, God uses us in our personalities, who we are. You don't have to be just like Brother Jerry in order to share the gospel. You don't have to be like Brother Doug to share the gospel. You just be yourself and let God work through you to share the gospel. God's chosen each of us to represent Him, and He wants us to speak. He actually wants to speak through us to the people that we encounter, using us just like we are, or and as we grow in our relationship with Him. Yes, we grow in our relationship and we change over time, but God uses us where we are at in real time. You know, God uses you where you're at right now, and God can use you to be His representative right where you're at. D.L. Moody once spoke with a woman who didn't like his particular method of evangelism, and he said, I don't really like mine all that much either. What's yours? Well, she replied that she didn't have one. And Moody said, well, then I like mine better than yours. I think I'll just keep mine. Is God getting His message out to anyone in the world through you? I'm not asking you to answer whether He is getting it out through me or anyone else, because you're not going to answer for me. I'm not going to answer for you. You're going to stand before God one day and give an account. So we must personally know Christ. We must know the heart of God. We must know the plan of God. And then fourthly and lastly, we must know the way of God. Know the way of God. Now, one might assume that if you know all of that, you would know the way of God, but not necessarily so. I've asked people before if they know how to share Christ with others, and too many times they say they don't. And in verse 21, look at what Paul says. So for He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. That's the way of God right there. The God of this universe who longs to have a relationship with man, He could not because man had sinned against Him. And we know in the Garden of Eden, when Adam turned his back on God and disobedience in the Garden of Eden, God had to turn His back on man. And He could not accept him in his sinful state. But I thank God that God didn't just leave man there. God made a way. Because only God could make a way. He provided the means whereby reconciliation could take place. And that reconciliation had to come from God, because none of us, there's not a one of us, ever could reconcile ourselves to God. We were totally inept. So God chose to remove the enmity that stood between Himself and man. And the means that He chose to use to remove that enmity was His own very Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And God made Jesus Christ the sacrifice for our sin. The one who knew no sin, the one who had no sin, the one who did no sin, He made Him sin for us. He had done nothing wrong, but He took our wrongs. And why did He do it? So that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. Okay? God so loved the world that He loved us all that He gave His only begotten Son to be the payment for our sin, so that we might be called the sons of God. Now we know that God provided a way that both our relationship with Him and fellowship with Him could be restored, and that way is through what Jesus did, what He willingly endured on our behalf. That's the way of God. The way of God is not you doing the best you can. It's not you joining the church. It's not you doing anything. That's not it. God's plan is to share His wonderful message of redemption to man through each one of us who are saved. God's way is not the way of just praying a sinner's prayer that somebody wrote, asking Jesus into your heart. That's not God's way. That's a man's made plan of salvation. That may sound cute and simple, but listen, it leaves out repentance and faith. It's not God's way. It takes repentance and faith to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus. God's way is not the way of being good, not the way of staying faithful, because there's none of us that can be good. There's none of us that can stay faithful. That's man's religion. And it will leave a person empty and hopeless in the end, because we can't live up to God's holy standard of perfection, because God's holy standard of perfection is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is that perfect righteousness. So God's way is through repentance of sin and faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to Him alone for salvation. And the one who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no man cometh to the Father but by me, he is the way, the truth, and the life. Now, we know that too many in the world, that's going to sound foolish, right? I mean, we start telling them about the gospel. The world does view it as being foolish. In fact, the Apostle Paul admitted so much in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. He said, you know, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But we got to share that foolishness with them because it's the power of God and salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. You know, so we need to see it for what it is. It is the power of God. And even though the world may view it as foolish, not everybody's going to view it that way. Some are going to believe. Some are not going to believe. But our responsibility is not to see that they believe. See that? That's where we get mixed up at. Our responsibility is just to share the truth of the gospel with them and leave it up to God. Amen? God's Holy Spirit takes it and takes it to the heart. He's the one that draws them. He's the one that convicts of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. He's the one that does the work. We have to do what He called us to do, and that's to be ministers of reconciliation. Now, in closing, I told you I was going to talk fast. Look at Ezekiel chapter number 3. Ezekiel chapter number 3. I want to close with this here. Ezekiel 3. Look at verse number 17 through 19. Ezekiel 3, verse 17 through 19. Son of man, I have made thee a watchman of the house of Israel. He's talking to Ezekiel here. Therefore hear the word at my mouth. Give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die. Now givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life. The same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. It's kind of simple, really. Without giving a lot of commentary here, understand that God had called the prophet Ezekiel to go and preach God's message to the people of Israel. And that the last phrase of verse 17, we see God's plan has always really been the same. God said, give them warning from me. Ezekiel was God's microphone, his PA system. He was to plead with them on God's behalf. So Ezekiel came to know the way of God. He warned them. He told them what was coming. He gave them God's message. Is that not what God's called us to do? I mean, we see the similarities, don't we? Now, we see what God says next, and that's what I want you to see there in verse 18. You know, it said there in verse 18, when He talks about if you do what I tell you to do, you know, then you deliver yourself. If you don't do what I tell you to do, you know, I'm gonna require, you know, their blood's on your hand. God holds those whom He has called personally responsible for not sharing His message. He holds us personally responsible for not being the means through which He speaks. And when God says to the lost man that he has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and that the wages of sin is death, and that without Christ as his Savior, he's going to die in his sin and go perish in hell, and we refuse to warn him, lead him to salvation, if that man dies in his sin, God holds us in part personally responsible. So you didn't do your job. You know, you were to be a minister of reconciliation, and you weren't. Now, I'm sure there are going to be some people in hell, probably, who crossed our paths and because we refused to share Christ with them. You know, is it possible that they are there in part because of us? You know, we don't like to think so, but we know that the Bible sheds a different light on the issue. He went on to say here that if you do warn him and he still refuses, then you've done your part and you are in the clear. So you see, it's not our job to get people saved. Our responsibility as ambassadors is to share the message of our King. It's up to them what they do with it. So what kind of ambassador have you been for Christ? You've been fulfilling your calling? You've been representing Christ to your Jerusalem? Or have you been in just kind of like a, you know, we're in vacation mode. You know, we're just living our existence down here until the Lord comes back. We're going to stand before Him one day, and we're going to give an account for that. How effective have you been as God's personal sound system? Is His message getting through loud and clear? Or has He been frustrated by the constant static and the interference that your flesh puts God's desires on the back burner? You know, so understand, we are God's A plan, okay? His ambassador plan. God has no B plan. If they're going to hear the gospel, they're going to hear it from us. Okay? There's some people that you could reach, nobody else could be able to reach. Are they going to hear the gospel from you? If the lost are to hear the gospel story, have an opportunity to come to Christ, it will be through those who have believed on the Lord. God's A plan. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Amen. All right. Let's pray for the needs on our list, and we'll be dismissed.